Hey everyone, welcome to the Off the Rails show on the OFT podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Voles, site manager, emperor, supreme warlord, and defender of the faith over at onefootdown.com on the SB Nation Network. Oh, and happy weekend. Going to be a quieter weekend for us all. After Notre Dame's just non-show-up performance at the Barclays Center against Virginia Tech. But we do have some hockey shooting for that Big Ten championship semifinal tonight. But anyway, Saturday night. But football is always on our minds. It doesn't stop. And so that's what I'm doing here today. So I was just thinking this the other day that, you know, just about expectations for Marcus Freeman in his, you know, in his first year and kind of what should we expect and then how's that lead into the following year and yada, 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 yada. It was about, just a 10-minute thought exercise of what could happen, what might happen. How does he get, how is he perceived by the fans? How, all that stuff. And one of the things I couldn't shake out of my head was, the old prophecy of the third year Notre Dame head coach national championship, right? It's well known. It's like, it's what everyone talks about going into that third year. Like, well, if you're going to win a national championship at Notre Dame, it's going to be in your third year. And people aren't wrong by any stretch of the imagination. But it had me thinking about the, coaches in their third year that didn't win the national championship. And I got to tell you, it is just as telling as the title years. Just as telling. Now, what do I mean by that? You go back and look throughout the course of Notre Dame's football history over the last 100 years, and the third year for a coach shows his ass. It tells the tale. So let's take a quick journey back just to go through that, just to prove this. Like, it was every coach that didn't win a national championship in their third year, their third year, hit at home. Like, this is why. So let's take a quick rundown, because it's just, to me, it's fascinating. I am someone who, would very much dismiss the third year championship thing. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't care. I thought it was, I don't know, man. There's just some things in Notre Dame history that I just, that gets overplayed, overkilled. horses are beaten. I just don't care to discuss. This one's just got too much to it. So let's go through just a little bit here. I mean, you go about all the way back to Rockne. Now, this is actually a little bit of a variance, right? You know, some people think Rockne's first national championship was in 1924, but if you're using the 21 national championship method that I highly suggest everyone uses, Notre Dame's first national championship was 1919, followed by another one in 1920. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, then I guess welcome to the site and the show for the first time, because everyone should know by now how these things work, the 21 national championships. At any rate, 1919 was Rockne's second year. 9-0 national championship. Third year, same thing, 9-0 national championship. Just a variance there, which I guess is fair because Newt Rockne is so, above board. He is the variance himself. Now, it does get so tricky with some guys. Now, we're only going to be talking about guys that have had at least 3 years of time, obviously, at Notre Dame. But so these are the guys. So then you go to Hunk Anderson, who took over for Rock after his untimely death in the plane wreck. He had just got there the year before, I think the year before. And so just kind of like had to step into this role. This was not like the role that was was made for Hunk Anderson, but that's what happened. So in his third year at Notre Dame, the Irish went 3-5-2, and that was it. They were done. Donezo. He went on to coach NC State, and in 3 years there, compiled an 11-17-1 record. So, not a good head football coach. He was 6-2-1 and 7-2 in his first two seasons. You know, after the death of Rockne, that's not terrible. But everything was built in place. Like even Rockne, like, you know, he wasn't at some of the games Notre Dame won in his tenure. I think they lost one or two of those. But what I'm saying is there was a lot put in place for Rock. For Notre Dame from Rockne during that time. So keeping the program moving in 31 and 32, I don't want to say it wasn't as difficult. Competency can get you a 6-2, 7-2. That third year, that's what's so important. It's like the third year is the ownage year. You know, it's not like you have all your guys there, but you got most of your guys there. Your program is set. Things are running according to your plan. Yada, yada, yada. That's what tells the tale, right? And here we got Hunk going 3-5-2. Not good at all. Next up on the hit list here, Elmer Layden. Now, Elmer lasted 7 seasons as Notre Dame's head coach. In his first two seasons, he went 6-3, 7-1-1. And then his third year is 6-2-1, which tells the tale, because the next 4 seasons he was 6-2-1, 8-1, 7-2, 7-2. Like, you could pencil in those couple losses, minus the 1938 year, pencil in those couple losses. But he was good to drop them. That's what kind of coach he was. He wasn't bad, but certainly was not following the Newt Rockne greatness. Now this was setting up for, you know, I consider Frank Leahy to be the greatest Notre Dame coach in history. And, you know, it sets up for Frank. And we all know what goes on there. I mean, Frank is part of the third-year rule. In 41 and 42, went 8-0-1, 7-2-2, 1943, 9-1 national championship. Now, again, before I go too much farther, I want to recognize at least one thing. 1938, go back to Layden just 1 second here. 1938 was definitely a year that we recognize as a national championship. So, third year, Elmer Layden, 1938, national championship. I mean, it hits. So, and I don't know why I dismissed that draft of that, but I just, probably because I had to remember about the, because there's so many of those, you know, those championships that we don't, Notre Dame doesn't publicly put out there. You know, they do, but it's just not, they don't put them out there like the other 11. But anyway, so Elmer hits it, in a sense, in the third year. Leahy, you know, obviously comes back, hits it on his third year, and then goes on to have, you know, just a great career at Notre Dame with all the other national championships. You know, 43, 46, 47, 49, and 53, too, as well. moving on here. Then, you know, after Frank, you know, you kind of have a, well, I love Hugh DeVore coming in here a couple times, but let's go to Brennan here. Terry Brennan, 5 seasons at Notre Dame. First 2 years, he went 9-1, 8-2. Hey, that's great. Third year, 2-8. 2-8. And ultimately, that leads you to the last year, the fifth year at 6-4. He just was not a coach that was going to get you past anything else, right? I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad, but God, that 2-8 year. So I don't know. Maybe Brennan is kind of a little bit of an outlier here, because because the 56 season was such an outlier. You know, 9-1, 8-2, 7-3, 6-4 doesn't really scream and shout 2-8 at you. But at any rate, it wasn't going to be a Notre Dame standards, especially again. You're getting past the now you got, you know, Harper in the mix, you know, Rockne, Leahy. This wasn't gonna cut it. Oh, Joe. Then moving on to Joe Kurek. Again, we got 1959, 5-5, 1960, 2-8, 61, 5-5, 62, 5-5. Terrible time at Notre Dame. Four seasons went along is hard to imagine. Again, that third year, 5-5. It just wasn't going to get better than the 5-5. That was 500 was the best. That isn't going to work out. Era, obviously, you know, wins the national championship in his third year. He comes in next. Great hire on Notre Dame's part. Devine follows Era. Hey, Devine does the same, you know, he follows the path, right? Like Devine gets murdered because of the movie, because of Rudy, the movie. He gets murdered because of that. He is seen as a villain, as a pure villain. And of his first two seasons, he went 8-3 and 9-3. And then third year, national championship, 11-1. Follows that up with a 9-3, 7-4, 9-2-1. I mean, Dan Devine was there's a reason, he's got a statue outside the stadium. Stop thinking of him as such a fucking villain just because Rudy needed to sell some movie tickets. All right? It's fine. The third year, it told the tale. He was a championship coach. Did the trick. I would give anything for that to happen for Marcus Freeman. So then following him up, Jerry Faust, which is continues to be one of the, I mean, we're not talking, this isn't 1944, which, well, definitely wouldn't make sense for Notre Dame in 1944, but you don't get what I'm saying. This is in the 80s. And they hire, you know, just a high school coach right out of the gate, you know, it's just inexcusable now when you think about it. I mean, it was, even back then, people knew it was inexcusable. It's still inexcusable, regardless of how great a guy that Jerry Faust is. But, you know, he goes 5-6, 6-4-1, and then his third year he goes 7-5, won the Liberty Bowl. Greatest victory of his life during a 7-5 campaign. And then follows it up with a 7-5 and 5-6 seasons. Third year tells the tale. It's what he is. Lou Holtz gets there. We all know the story there. 1988 national championship. You can also count the 89 and 93 national titles too. But the 88 was Holtz's third year. And, you know, the last of the bunch, you know, to really nail it, you know, on that front. So really it's up to that point, things were what they were. And after that, it's just like, it's even more so. The third year is even more so telling now, post-Holtz. And, you know, we're into a handful of coaches now with post-Holtz. So, Bob Davey, you know, Mr. Football himself, you know, had a disastrous time. You know, I guess you could say it for Notre Dame. Disastrous is right. 35-25 over five seasons is definitely definitely it, but he went 7-6, 9-3 his first two seasons. And the third year goes 5-7, follows that up with a 9-3 and then a 5-6 campaign before he's ultimately fired. And it was like the odd years fucked him. 7-6, 5-7, and 5-6. The two even years he had, 9-3, 9-3, at least it's somewhat respectable. But absolutely showed his ass. 5-7 with that 99 team. I mean, it goes out of coaching for a long time after that. Anyways, follow that up with Tyrone. You know, and you know, Ty got off to, you know, a great start at Notre Dame up until, you know, the BC Green Jersey disaster in 2002. Notre Dame still finishes 2002 10-3. Losing the Gator Bowl kind of did suck, but you know, you had some good feelings. But 2003, 5-7. And then 2004, before he was fired, Notre Dame was 6-4. They ended up losing the Inside.com Bowl to finish the season 6-5. Kent Barrow was at the helm there. But, I mean, it was just so bad. And it was just so telling. Like from that BC game forward, Tyrone Willingham's football program at Notre Dame was just bad. It was not good. And there was a fair amount of talent on that team that he just kept pissing away and then would hit the golf course and wouldn't backfill the talent that he pissed away. It's just, it was just so bad. But yeah, 6-4. Yeah. And just a reminder to everybody too, in case you forgot, he followed that up with 4 seasons at Washington where he went a combined 11-37. 2-9, 5-7, 4-9, and 0-12 combination. Yikes. So, you know, when Notre Dame, you know, caught crap for firing Tyrone after, you know, 3 seasons instead of giving him 5, which, you know, some people took that as an offense. You know, like, look, he sucked. He was terrible. They had every right to fire him. He was terrible. It was negligent the way he was running that program. Then next up, you know, get worse and worse in hindsight, is El Chucko, Charlie Weiss. And worse in hindsight, also funnier. Like, I can look back in the Weiss years with a more comedic eye than I did during the time, because it's just so fucking depressing how bad it was sometimes. But, you know, Weiss probably has the most famous third year stumble at Notre Dame, and because it was so bad and it was such a cliff fall from where he was at 9-3 in 05, 10-3 in 06, and then 07, obviously the 3-9 year. It was just so bad. And then he follows that up with a 7-6 and 6-6 campaigns, you know, gets a Hawaii Bowl win. It's like, it really is like just kind of a little more bipolar Jerry Faust. That's kind of what it feels like. But yeah, I mean, Weiss showed his ass 3-9 in 2007. Just absolutely terrible. You know, and he coaches Kansas for 3 years. The 3 years following his departure, and he goes a combined 6-22, 1-11, 3-9, that he was ultimately fired pretty quickly in that third season. But I mean, Charlie Weiss is not a good head football coach. 2007 just absolutely proved it, and they proved that before they even got on the field. I mean, shit, the whole thing about Demetrius Jones and Weiss just like kind of like half-ass installing a spread offense before the Georgia Tech game. That was just ultimately tragic. And again, we can look back and I can have a little bit of a chuckle about how crazy that is because of, you know, who the hell does that? Well, let's just change your whole offense a month before the season. Anyways. And then finally, you know, we get to Brian Kelly. And, you know, we're well aware what happened in the third season. I guess that's the one that really had me leaning towards, this really shows your ass. You know, Notre Dame goes, you know, 12-0, makes it to the BCS National Championship game, and then gets handed their butts by the Alabama Crimson Tide. And this is peak Brian Kelly. He does it again in 18, he does it again in 20. It's just, it is, that was as as good as it was going to get. So if the third year is telling you anything, right? It's telling it, you win a national championship, you're a national championship winning coach in Notre Dame. Other than that, they've been not great years for coaches that, you know, didn't last very long. For Brian Kelly, he was like, it was this weird mix. He broke the mold, of times past, but he absolutely showed his ass where he was going to get you there, but they just weren't going to get over it. Now, 10 years from now, if I was talking about this, I would also have, if I'm including years like 89 and 93 and 38 and 19 and 20, I would probably going to have to include 2012 because 2012 does include a national championship for Notre Dame with the traditional markers, the quote Alabama math unquote that is used for a championship. So in hindsight, maybe it's like an Elmer Layden situation, you know, right? Kind of like 38 a little bit. I don't know. But his third year definitely did show his ass. He'd get you there, but it was just not going to be anywhere close to being good enough to finish it off. Again in 18, again in 20. Probably a big reason why he's no longer coaching Notre Dame. And that was on his, you know, his decision. He saw that he was not going to be able to do it. Okay. Maybe he can do it at LSU. I'm not going to discount the man. He's a good coach. He's a great football coach, but his skill set was maxed out at Notre Dame. Will it be maxed out at LSU? I don't know. We'll see. It's a pretty tough place to play. When you got to go up against Nick Saban every year. And when recruiting has never been a priority for you, I mean, like a priority, eating it. That's a tough place to go and win is if you're not doing those things. So we'll see. But all that leads up to Marcus Freeman, and just how much of a reminder, like kind of like this first year, it is what it is. Let's see what happens. The third year is going to tell a tale one way or another. No question about it. No question about it. Marcus Freeman's either, I mean, it's, you know, you're going to win a title, or it's going to show you a lot of the reasons why you're not going to. You know, time changes, and you know things change all over the country with different programs, and it is a lot harder now to win a national championship than it was, you know, back even when Holtz was, you know, coaching. Don't come at me with that shit about their schedule. I'm not trying to debate that. But it is harder to win a national championship in this day and age than it was in the late 80s, early 90s. Just stop arguing that point. It's 100% true. So we'll see. Well, you know, we're just going to see what happens. And on top of it all, it's, you know, first time head coach. So we don't even have any history, of Freeman at any other place in the third year. But ultimately, this is a Notre Dame thing, right? Again, when we bring up the third year Notre Dame head coach stat, it is always about the national championships. And that is important. But it's also very important, I think, to look at the failures of the third year and how closely that mimics most of their time at the university. I mean, certainly how they go out. So we're still a long ways away for Marcus Freeman, but it was just something I thought about the other night, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to sit down and we're going to have a little chat about it. So if we're going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing this as much as I can throughout the off season. That's trying to add a extra off the rails show during the week. And this was the thing I was thinking about this week, just kind of going through, I thought about that, and I thought my thoughts lined up, and I'm like, I better go double check, and, you know, went through and was checking out everybody's third years, because really it was the Brian Kelly, it was the Charlie Weiss and Brian Kelly third years that were just sticking out to me as kind of like, these are what show for sure. But then you just go through and it's just like, it matches up with more. And it's like, ugh, this is crazy. Like, is this just made up? Is this just this kind of like a happen chance? Maybe, but certainly it's something that's real. But that's it for that. I just remind everybody, get on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating, leave a review. Please leave the rating and review for the OFT podcast in itself. The Off the Rails show is just an auxiliary item. So if you don't, you know, it's there. It's there when you need to hear my voice, I suppose, which hopefully isn't too much, considering we're giving you, you know, 2.5 to 3 hour shows on the OFT podcast, but there's a little extra here. So yeah, please leave those ratings, leave those reviews. Check, you know, keep going over to the site. And this weekend, you know, we're all sad about, you know, what happened with Notre Dame basketball, but we are getting some playoff hockey this weekend, Notre Dame versus Michigan, which is about as good as it gets. Notre Dame's 4-0 this season against the Wolverines. So let's make it 5-0 and move on to the Big Ten championship game, as they, you know, set themselves up for an NCAA tournament run. And then, hey, then the next day Notre Dame basketball's still going to go to the tournament. And who knows, maybe they're in a better position seated this way than what they were looking at. It's just, it's all about matchups, right? It's all about matchups. That's why, you know, Notre Dame, the 2 seed, losing to the 7 seed, and it wasn't an upset.